Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
My message for this morning: why me, God? How many of you ever said this word before? Why me, God? Come on, put up your hand. I mean, it's good to say this word, why me, God, when good things happen to you. And you know, David said this once. He said, why me, God? God, you're going to bless me. You're going to do so much for me. You know, and you're not only choosing me, but my descendant will continue to become king. And David was so taken by the grace of God, by the faithfulness of God, and the generosity of God, that he asked God, God, why me? When David said that, he felt deep in his heart that he's humbled. He don't deserve it. So when good things happen to you, when you say the word, why me, God, is wonderful. But most time, when we say this, why me, God, is when trouble comes to you, when problem comes to you. You know, this is the same question that Job asked God, why me, God? And I've asked God this question when things come into my life, troubles and problems come to my life. I say, God, why me? It's like, see if I hit the jackpot. And when I ask God this, why me, God? I'm just saying to God, what have I done to deserve this? Why do you single me out? Are you punishing me? Where are you, God? And this feeling is real feeling. You see, the problems and the trouble that comes into your life, they are not imaginary problems. They are not make-believe problems or make-up problems. They are real problems that batters you, that wears you off and drains your energy and vitality. I want you to know, problem will come. Say amen to that. It is part of life. Jesus said, I told you this thing so that in me you may have perfect peace. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, problem will come. And I want to let you know that when problem come, you can have what? You can have perfect peace. How you like that? When troubles and problem comes into your life, Jesus said, you can have peace and perfect peace. Jesus is saying this, when they come into your life, when they come to your life, they discovered this. When the storm comes, the ship on the surface feel and battle the storm. But the submarine that is below don't feel anything at all. And Jesus is saying to you and I, that when problem comes, and they will come, that if you will learn to be in with him, then you will experience what? You will experience perfect peace. In the world, you will have tribulation and distress and suffering. And we are seeing that in our world today. But be courageous. He said, be courageous. Have this confidence. Filled with joy, I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory is abiding. So Jesus is telling to us that in this world we will have problems, but if you believe in him, if you trust him, if you rest in him, if you hope in him, then he promised that you can have this confidence that he will see you through, he will carry you through. The question is that when problem comes and evil comes, how do you see them? Do you see problem as opportunity, or do you see problem as problem? Some people are very problem-minded. They are caught up with problem. They can only see problem. Some people can see opportunity in every problem. So how do you see them, how you view them, makes a great difference. I pray that today, after this sermon, message that when trouble comes your way, when problem comes your way, you'll see them as opportunity. Say amen. As opportunity in God. A book was written by Charles Stringer. He entitled his book, One Step Forward and Two Step Back. He highlighted that every problem is an opportunity to prove God's power. Every day we encounter countless golden opportunities, brilliantly disguised as unsurmountable problems. And this is what the book said, one step forward and two step backward. How many of you feel that in life? That you are making some headway, but some winds are pushing you back. Some problems, some troubles are pushing you back. It could be children. It could be work. It could be family. It could be health. It seems to be pushing you back. But this book said that one step forward, two step is backward. But it tells us that if we see the things that come across our path as opportunity, because God wants us to see opportunity, not problem. Three senior golfers. They were on the golf course. You know, and they said that as you get old, especially for men, you become more grumpy. Is that true? Grumpy old man, they say. I hope not. So these three seniors was in the golf course and they were playing golf. Two of them always grumble. The fairway are too long. The hill are too steep. The bunker is too deep. And they keep on complaining as they play golf. Finally, the third man said this. At least we are on the right side of the glass. He says how you see things in life. Some people see problem as problem. Some people run from their problem. Others will deny they have any problem. And others will say, I have no problem until I meet you. You are my problem. No problem is a popular saying, but it's not true. Everyone has problem. Children are playing up. The teenagers is rebelling. The bills are mounting. The car needs fixing. No one can live a problem-free life. If you have this thought that you can be problem-free, let me burst this bubble in you. It is not possible to be problem-free. The only place where you have no problem is in the graveyard. That's what we say. That's why we call them rest in what? In peace. Until they meet their makers. So when problem comes your way, you can advertise it. And some people like to advertise it. They like to talk about their problem. So their problem become what? A bigger problem. Some people will complain about their problem. Some will blame others for their problem. They blame their parents. They blame their sitting. You know, they blame their dogs and their cat. They blame everybody for their problem. They even blame God and Satan for their problem. But this morning I want you to know that God chose to use problem for his purpose and for his glory. You know, so the choice is this. When problem come, will you learn from your problem and overcome them with flying color? Life is a series of problem solving. The problem we face will either defeat us or develop us, tear us or build us. So, defeat or develop, tear or build, depends on how you respond to your problem. Most people see problem as problem. But they cannot see that God is using that problem for the good of their life. Psalm 119 verse 71. My trouble turns out all for the best. They force me to learn from your textbook. Isn't it not great that the psalmist said that my trouble turned out all for the best. My problem came out all the best because what happened? They forced me to learn from your textbook. They forced me to learn about you because problem does one thing. It causes us to pray more. It causes us to pray more. It causes us to depend on God more. It causes us to trust God more. When we are problem-free, we think we don't need God. God become a spare tire. So God does permit problem. And you know what God did? He told the Israelite, when I bring you to the promised land, I'm not going to remove all the enemies. I'm going to leave a few there. Why? So that they become thorns. So they become a problem. So that they become a trouble. And when they become a problem and a trouble, it will sharpen you to trust me, to obey me. And problem, God does use problem for a purpose. God does not use problem to destroy you. Say amen. God used problem for your development, for your good. It's amazing. Amazing. That we can go to problem and still come out of problem and still survive in problem. Is it not amazing? If it's not the hand of God over you, you will have died with your problem. But because it is God, God's purpose to use problem so that he will force you to go back to his word, force you to believe in you, force you, to trust him. This is David's attitude when he faced problem. Problem help us to trust God's word, trust God's promise, hope in God, wait in God, because he will see us through. We are more than conquerors. We will live. We will not die. We will live to declare the goodness of God. What an attitude that David has. He said, when I have all this problem, I don't get angry with God. People get angry with God with their problem. God, why? Why me? Oh God. But David said, no. I'm going to have this thought that God, you're going to use this problem somehow for my good. But many would react very unwisely. I hope when problem comes your way, that you will just stop, take a step back, and ask yourself, what can I learn from this? What benefit can they bring to my life? How can I be a better person through this problem? How can I achieve a win-win outcome? God used problem to help us, to train us, to develop us. And if you don't learn from your problem, they will come back to you in different form, different color, different shape, different texture, and they will keep on coming back to you. You may say that, well, when I grow old, there will be no problem. No, when you grow old, the problem will still come to you, and it will always come to you. It will knock at your door again and again until you learn to overcome them. This morning, I want to tell you 5 beneficial ways that God used problem in your life. Firstly, God used problem to direct you. Sometimes God must light a fire under you to get you to do something. Problem always point us to a new direction and motivate us to change. So when problem comes to your life, is God trying to get your attention? Is God trying to direct you? Proverbs 20 verse 30. Sometime it takes a painful situation to make us change our way. How many parents will only do something when their children start rebelling? I remember I was so busy working. I was working and I was pastoring, you know. And by doing that, I must say that I neglect my wife and my children. And it only takes something to happen. Something to happen within the family that caused me to take a step backward and reprioritize my life. God does use problem to direct you. Sometimes couple will never solve their marriage problem until something happened. Until the wife say, I'm leaving. Or the husband say, that's it. Or both use this word they must never use. This word. Ooh, this is a dangerous word. in marriage is called the D word, not doom, divorce word. When they use this word, the D word, then they say, oh, it's time we do something about it. We better compromise and save the marriage. We better do something to change our way. So God does use problem to direct us. But sometimes I ask myself, why do we need problem for God to direct us? Can't we just simply be wise people? It's like a farmer. This old farmer, every time he plowed, he will come to a rock. And this rock, each time will break his plow. And one day he said, maybe I will just go around it. You know some people do that? They don't face problem. Don't face trouble. They want to go what? Around it. Close my eyes. Deny it. It's not there. It will go away. Let me tell you, it ain't going to go away. You sweep under the carpet, it's still under the carpet. And so he never wants to do something. And then finally, one day he tells himself, I have broken so many of my plow. Maybe it's time I do something about this rock. So he took a crowbar and he tried to dig it out. And he found that the rock was only about this size and so big. And he took out the rock and he was laughing. Hey, silly me. I should have taken out this rock long time ago. Then try to go around it. Do you know people are like that? When there is a problem with your life, sort out the problem. If you have a problem with anger, sort it out. If you have a problem with unforgiveness, sort it out. Whatever problem you have, face it and sort it out. Because God is using that to get your attention. Ask yourself, if I don't solve the problem, is it going to go away? It ain't going to go away. All the time and energy and money that you put because you don't want to solve the problem, you could have used it in a more wise way. Someone once said, the best way out of problem is through it. Amen. It's through it. One day I was attending a pastor meeting. And prophets, sometimes they come, they have a word for you. And I was sitting there and he said, hey, you know, I have a word for you. That's interesting. How many like to have a word from a prophet? I said, that's interesting. Yeah. And he said this, you have asked God to bring you around the problem. You have asked God to bring you over the problem. But God has chosen to bring you through the problem. I don't need such a word. Say amen. I say, I mean, God, don't you have a better word to me than say you want to bring me through the problem? But God has a purpose. Because it's through the problem that he will direct you. He will direct you. So God used problem to direct you. God used problem to inspect you. I saw behind a kitchen counter. And this is a poster. People are like tea bag. If you want to know what's inside them, just drop them into what water? Hot water. Their true color is revealed, the mask melt away, and the real you are exposed. How fast some melt under pressure. How quick someone felt led by God to move on when problems arise. As a pastor, I do make and face problems. Problems with people. But this is one thing I have learned. God is not about that person. It's about you testing my heart. It's about you inspecting my heart. It's about you checking my motive. It's by you checking my intent. And God, when you check on me, I want to pass the test. God used problem to check on you to inspect you. Abraham was tested when Lord man and his men quarrel over the well. He could go to Lot and say to Lot, Lot, I'm your uncle. I'm the one who make who you are. Without me, you are nothing. No. He went to Lot and said to Lot, Lot, your man and my man strive. Choose where you want. You go left, I go right. You go right, I go left. Why? Why Abraham was able to do that? Because he recognized one thing, that he has trust God. God has called him. God said, I will bless you. And therefore, he trusts God that in the midst of problem, he wants his heart to be right before God. It may look as if Abraham is disadvantaged. You choose first. But Abraham came out winning because he trusts God who had called him and promised to bless him. David was tested many times when Saul went after him with his mighty men. He has opportunity to take matters on his own hand. But he never did. Because he is trusting and hoping and waiting for the Lord to deliver him. This is what David said in Psalm 26, verse 1 to verse 2. Declare me innocent, O Lord. I have acted with integrity. I have trust in the Lord without wavering. Put me on trial, Lord, and cross-examine me. David said, God, when problem comes, I will not react unchristlike. I will not react against your word, O God. I will obey you. When problem comes, Lord, is to inspect me, is to check me. I want to make sure my heart, my motive, my attitude, the things that I say, glorify God. That's what David said. Not everybody passed the inspection test. Sometimes the Bible says that you have been weighed. God weighed you and you have found lacking. Cain, Saul, and the list go on. But don't be the next one on the list. Say amen. To fear the test, the inspection test. Let God be able to say, this person has trust me, has obeyed me, has walked my way, and I can put my seal and say, he has passed the test. That mark. Is God testing your faith? Testing your character? Testing your believing system? Testing your makeup? Like tea bag in hot water with problem? James said this word, you know that under pressure, your faith is forced into the open and show its true color. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you can become mature and well-developed, not defensive in any way. This is what James said, that when God allows problems to come, don't try to shortcut it. Don't try to get out of it. He said, allow God to work in you so that this is what most of our problem reveals the struggle that is within us. What is inside is seen through our problem. So God is trying to inspect your heart, examine your heart, make you realize that. And like James said, I don't want to get out of it prematurely. I want to go through it. And God will give us the grace to go through it. How many of you realize that there is no temptation too great for you? There is no problem too great for you. God knows how much you can take. And he will see you through. And he will give you the grace and strength to go through. Would not it be better for you to go through and come out as pure gold, refined by fire? God used problem to correct us. Some lessons can only be learned through pain and failures. Like, a mother that tells the kid, don't put your hand on the hot stove, it will burn. You know, the kids never learn that. How many realize you tell the kid don't, they will do it? How many realize that? And so we have the other extreme. We have this extreme where the parents in protection say don't, and the kid will still do it. So we have the other extreme of parenthood. They call the permissive parent. Let them do whatever they want and let them learn from it. That is plain foolishness. But sometimes we only learn the value of something, the value of health, the value of money, the value of relationship. We only learn it when we lose it. Is it not true? Samson, I mean, he was a man with great strength. He kept on walking on the tightrope. He stretched the boundary one time after another time. He never learned until he lost his what? His eyes. And his strength. And he cried to God. God used problem to correct us. And one of the reasons why God used problem to correct us is because we are sons and daughters of God. That's the privilege of sonship. This is what Hebrews chapter 12 verse 6 says. Because the Lord corrects everyone he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as his children. That God used problem to correct us as a father correct his children. I will never go and correct another person's children. Even how bad is my neighbor's children, it's not my job to go and correct them. How many of you realize that? Right or wrong? But I will correct whose children? My children. In the same way the Bible said that God used problem to correct us. Because we are what? His children. And if we do the wrong thing, God closes his eyes and says, never mind. I want to tell you, God is not a permissive father. He will allow us to choose, but he will also allow us to face the consequences. But yet, he is forgiving to restore. That is God. You see? And so sometimes God allows problems to come in order to correct us. It's the mark of sonship. You know, David said this. It was the best thing that could have happened to me, for it taught me to pay attention to your laws. This is what David says. That God, I go through all this problem and you use this problem to correct me. So, it's the best thing to happen to me. I have learned one thing as I grow up. Sometimes, the cane on the buttock does teach the children well. How many of you believe that? We are living in a world today where the government said you cannot cane the child and then they wonder why are the kids on the street lawless? Because we don't believe in correction in our government system. So God does use that. And David said this word, it was the best thing that could happen to me. Wow. He was corrected by God. He said, that's the best thing that could happen to me. For he taught me to pay attention to your law. God used problem to protect you. A problem can be a blessing in disguise. It can prevent you from being harmed by something more serious. A boy who has problem managing his pocket money will have problem managing his paycheck. A small white lie can lead to a bigger and bigger white lie. Stealing $1 today can be $1,000 tomorrow. Cheating on your exam may lead you to cheat on your spouse later. So, God used problems sometimes to protect us. You know, and if that does happen, parents, don't bail out your children time and time if they do not learn from their problem. You are not protecting them. you are harming them. Your children need to learn from their mistake, learn from their problem, learn from their trouble. Don't just shelter them all the time. Joseph in the Bible was one who God used problem to protect him. Problem with his jealous brother, problem with his boss wife, problem after problem. And some of the problem just follow him. But Joseph said this about God. You intend to harm me, but God intend for good. That God can use problem to protect you. And sometimes problem is like a signal light that asks you stop and think about it. Lastly, God used problem to perfect you. Problems are character builders. You are interested about comfort. God is interested about character. There is only two things you can bring with you to heaven: your relationship to God and your character. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to verse 4. We can rejoice when we run into problem. They help us learn to be patient. And patience develops strength of character in us and help us to trust God more each time we use it, until finally our hope and faith are strong and steadfast. God is at work in your life. And when you don't recognize it or understand it, but it's God that is working through those problems. It's God's opportunity to shape you. It's God's opportunity to perfect you. It's God's opportunity to work in you. It's God's opportunity to get your attention. David lost everything, and his men want to stone him. But he learned how to encourage himself and trust God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 tells us, "For we know that God caused everything to work together for the good of those who love God and call according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." That God used problems and troubles and difficulties to perfect us so that we can become like his son, Jesus Christ. He's the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. But what about problem comes because of sin? Yes. Sin can bring you problems. Then my answer to you is repent and ask God for forgiveness. What about problem comes because you make very unwise choice? My answer to you is learn from what? Learn from me. Only a fool will make the same mistake twice. Tell yourself, I am no fool. One time is pain enough. One time is costly enough. What about problem comes when you cease to keep God at the center of your life? And it does happen when we neglect God and we forget God. We put him aside. Problem does come. And when those problems come, it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call from God to tell you, hey, wake up! And the reason he gives you a wake-up call is because he loves you and cares about you. When we face a problem or troubles, it looks as if it's so difficult. When we go through it, it looks as if we are going to die. But when we come out of it, we see the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, that he has used everything for his purpose. Can I trust him? Can I trust him when I'm going through problems? Can I trust him when my children is going through problems? Or should I say, why me? The hardest part for Christian when going through problems are patience, trust, and hope. Remember, problems are not permanent. They are only a temporary visit to your life. Don't make it permanent scar in your life. This morning, is Jesus directing you? Is Jesus inspecting you? Is Jesus correcting you? Is Jesus protecting you? Is Jesus perfecting you? I encourage you, have patience, trust, and hope. This is what it means to live out our hope in trusting in the goodness and the wisdom of God when we go through difficult moments in our life. God is faithful. I hope in Him. Why don't we pray? This morning, while every head is bowed, God, I ask, why me? But now I understand why you allow this difficulty, this problem to come my way, to get my attention, to help me to trust you, to know you more, to help me to be dependent on you, O God. This morning, for those who are going through a difficult time, for yourself or for the one close to your heart, just lift your hand to Him and say, God, I need your strength. I need your grace. I need your help, oh God. I need your empowerment over me. Nothing is too hard for God. Lord, I need you. You are a miracle working God. I don't want to know the God of history. I want to know the God of today that is able to strengthen my hand, strengthen my heart, strengthen me so that I can overcome the problem that is before me, so that I can say, I will not die, but declare the goodness of God. Father, we bring those hands raised to you today. Your heart cries, I need you. I need you, O God, as I go through the problem. I know you're not going to bring me around it or over it. You're going to bring me through it. And I need your grace, your wisdom, and your help so that I'm able to go through that problem, so that I can come out, Lord, shining as sons and daughter of God. I will not be defeated. I will live to declare the glory of God. I will live to testify about Him and His goodness. Father, in your wisdom, direct me, inspect me, correct me. In your wisdom, perfect me. For Lord, you are going to use all these things for your glory, for your purpose. And I know, God, that I will come out strong, strong in faith, strong in hope, strong in love, oh God. That whatever I go through, oh God, I know is only the shadow of the good things that you have kept for those that love you, for those that hope in you, for those that have put their faith in you. I ask you right now, Father, let your grace be released. Your empowering grace, your divine grace, your strengthening grace of God, they be released into the hearts of your people. into those hands that raised before you, God, that they are able to face everything and say that I am more than conqueror to Jesus Christ, who loved me, who is good to me. And I know for sure that I will live to declare the glory of God. So, Father, I say, let your name be honored. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we ourselves have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, that through all this thing, may the prayer of Jesus Christ become powerful, become real in our life. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we stand up to sing?
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.